This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're discussing the 63rd principle of devotional service, Nam Sankirtan. And there's several reference verses here which glorify the holy name, and we can just hear those verses about the glories of the holy name. This is from Adi Puran. Gitwa chamama namani vicharen mamasanido. Iti bhavimite satyam kritoham tasik charjana. By singing my names, a person will attain a position close to me. I make this promise. That person, the Arjuna, purchases me. So Krishna is speaking directly to Arjuna about the special glories of the holy name. And Krishna is promising to, if someone chants the holy name, he'll actually live with Krishna. He'll be very close to Krishna. And he, by this chanting Krishna's name, of course it has to be Shuddhanam, pure name, then they will actually purchase Krishna. So Krishna can be purchased with one Shuddhanam, Ek Shuddhanam, if we can chant Hare Krishna purely, then Krishna will be, we can purchase him. That's an interesting commodity. You can buy God. God is for sale. It's a really, even a, God is a businessman. God is engaged in selling, buying and selling. So this is the, it's said like this. In the Padma Purana it says, Jena Janma Sahasrani Vasudeva Nishevita Tanmoke Harinamani Sadatishtanti Bharata. The names of the Lord remain constantly in the mouth of a person who has served the Lord Vasudeva for 1,000 births. So this can be taken, this statement of Padma Prana can be taken literally and it can be taken figuratively. And it says that if you take it literally, the devotee is chanting the holy name of the Lord, and then he dies and takes another birth, and he chants, and he dies and takes another birth, and he chants. And finally, after 1,000 births, then the holy name is always with him. So in one sense, you could say that it takes 1,000 births to come to the position of nishtha. Nishtha means steadiness and devotional service, which has four characteristics, Lord Chaitanya explains. One is that one feels very humble and very tolerant and respects everyone, and he's free from pride, he's prideless. Trinadapi sunichena torai vasihishna manina manidena kirtinya sadahari. That this person, he can always chant the holy name, who has these four qualities. But this, if you take this verse and match it with that, then it takes 1,000 births to manifest these four qualities. Because if we manifest these four qualities, then we become nishtita in bhakti, and then we can kirtaniya sadhari, always chant the holy name. So what it means is it's not too easy to develop these qualities. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad if it's hard to develop humility or it's hard to develop tolerance. So that's the literal meaning, that it can take 1,000 births. And the other figurative meaning says here that the names of God will always be in one's mouth. One will always be chanting Hare Krishna or Jai Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radhe Radhe. Some holy name of the Lord, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. The names of the Lord will always be in the mouth of someone who has served Lord Krishna for 1,000 births. So this means that it's very rare. It's very rare that someone is always vibrating Nam. And this is something to pray for. A lot of times we don't know what to pray for. We go here and there and we meet with very powerful saintly persons, and we visit very special holy places that are very ancient, powerful deities are residing there that have been worshipped for hundreds of years, or they're places that are all about or connected with the Leelas of the Lord, Leela Stalis. Very powerful, surcharged places, high energy places. So when we visit these places or meet these, have darshan of these very special, powerful ancient deities, or meet very powerful spiritual people, and then we think, well, gee, here's the opportunity of a lifetime. Or maybe we don't, but we can think the opportunity of a lifetime. Here I am at this place, which I may never visit again, or I'm visiting this saintly person for darshan. I may not, in years again, come to see them. What is the best thing I could pray for? The benediction, the blessing. So we generally can, if we do this idea or do this practice, we imagine different, or we mention different things to that saintly person or deity. Oh, please bless me with health or happy family or good progeny or income. But actually, this verse is indicating that this is the ideal, the perfection of prayers and perfection of benedictions, the perfection of blessings, that we could be blessed. Please bless me that the holy name of the Lord is always on my lips. Because that itself is perfection, to always be with the holy name. Like sometimes we take a bath and in the Radhakund or Manasi Ganga Jamuna, etc., especially Radhakund. And there's something called Sankalpa. It means the position of your mind and the intention or the mentality, the vow, the affirmation, the resolution. This is Sankalpa, the resolve, your intention. What do you want from this activity? It's called Sankalpa. So then, before we take a bath, we can make a Sankalpa. Oh, Radharani, please bless me with your eternal service of your lotus feet. Oh, Radharani, please reveal my spiritual form. Oh, Radharani. And then, so this would be a nice Sankalpa in your mind, because whatever you should, before you begin a spiritual activity, any act of devotion, observing Ekadasi Brat or chanting your fixed mala or taking darshan or doing prikama, this Sankalpa principle is actually should be engaged or working. Everything should have a purpose. Like if you ask me, what are you doing? Well, you're in the kitchen. I said, what are you doing? I'm making bread. I'm making chapatis. You have a fixed idea of what you're doing and what you intend to derive from your activity. Well, it's a type of Sankalpa, although it's not usually called that. So we're doing a particular activity. So then in devotional service, a sadhana, so then we ask ourselves questions. Who is doing this activity? Where is this activity being done? Why is this activity being done? And how is this activity to be done? Right? And when is it done? Or when is it best done? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? So then we're taking snana Radhakund and we're praying, O Radharani, O Shamsundara, O Radharani, O Shri Kund, O Krishna Kund. Please bless me. The holy name of Krishna is always on my lips. And see what happens. Maybe we'll become blessed. And if we have that blessing, then everything becomes very auspicious and perfect. So Jiva Goswami on this verse, he explains a very interesting outlook here. It says, Yena Janma Sahasrani Vasudeva Nishevita Tan Muke Harinamani Sadatishtanti Bharata. For a holy name, Harinam, Sada Tishtanti, to always be situated, Tan Muke, in one's mouth, then one must have passed 1,000 births. Janma Sahasra, engaged in Vasudev Seva. That's a literal meaning, word for word. So then, Jiva Goswami, in his enlightened purport on this verse 1, Division 1, Chapter 2, Verse 232, he says, in order to increase a devotee's eagerness for devotion, the Lord, by his own will make that devotee take repeated birth. So, of course, this concept is also described, and it's a very important concept of Krishna Bhakti. It's described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 88, verse 8, where it says, Yadharishe anugrinami yasotantra, like this. It says that Krishna says, Yadharishe anugrinami, that if I especially favor someone, anugraha, anugraha means mercy or favor, if I especially favor someone, then harishye, yet I take everything away. So that's rare. It's rare to be that special. So don't worry. You won't become a pauper. Rich people are always afraid of Krishna. Watch out. He's a dangerous deity. Besides, he is black. And he may be a thief. He may steal everything you have. So rich people are afraid to worship Krishna. But the consolation is that if 10 billion people, 10 billion millionaires worship Krishna, maybe one of those 10 billion millionaires will be favored. That's really rare. Really rare. So this verse and this purport, Vishnu Chakravarti is telling in 10th canto, how the Lord interacts and creates the events of a devotee's life. Not even a very advanced devotee. When we first take diksha from the guru, we have so much prabdha karma that is still with us and operating and acting. The analogy is given of a fan. Ceiling fan is going around and you turn off the switch and still it's spinning. It's turning around because of the energy that's created there. Kinetic energy. Although there's no power going into it, it's still moving. So when we take diksha and we promise to follow religious principles, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, then the diksha function of receiving the transcendental knowledge and the illuminating mantras from the guru, they actually pull the plug out of the progress of karma. The forward progress of karma is arrested by the process of diksha. And then what's remaining is just some prarabdha or fruits on a tree. Like you may have a tree and you planted it and it has fruits. And then someone says, oh, why don't you plant some more trees? You say, no, I'm stopped now. This one tree I planted and I have to eat these fruits. So this prarabdha karma, we plant it. This is the fruits of our actions from previous life. So we have to eat them, even though we're initiated. Like some might say, okay, no, I won't give you any seeds anymore for trees, so you won't grow any more trees, but you'll have to eat these fruits. No, but I don't want to eat them. No, you planted this tree, you have to eat these fruits. So some fruits we'll have to eat. Now these tendencies for acting in a particular good or bad way, which are samskaras in our chitta or consciousness, they manifest vasanas or desires. So, karmani nirdahati chakintu cha bhakti bhajan. By doing bhakti bhajan, devotional service, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam, then nirdahati, the seeds of karma become destroyed. The good deeds, the good fruits and the bad fruits all get destroyed. So eventually the tree is uprooted. The tree of karma that is planted in the soil of our life the prabdha karma, it becomes uprooted and removed by bhakti. And there's no more reaction. Then whatever, everything that happens to the devotee when he's free from his karma, that is directly given to him by the Lord. He may get suffering, that's given by the Lord. He may get promotion or demotion, it's directly given by the Lord. So that's at an advanced stage, like Draupadi, like Arjuna, like Queen Kunti, Pandavas, etc. They were pure devotees of the Lord, but they seemed to suffer quite a bit. And that suffering was given directly by Krishna for his own purposes, to bring out their greatness and to show the great affection of the Lord ultimately, and how they bound the Lord by their love and surrender and submission despite all obstacles and difficulties. And the other thing that's interesting is that even before a devotee attains perfection or freedom from his karma, the Lord still, even in a neophyte devotee, he may act in his life and cause distress or happiness, which is not part of his karma. So it becomes a little complicated to know when a new devotee is getting the direct interaction of the Lord, or whether it's only his karma. This is a little bit mystifying. But the point is being said here that a devotee is, in some sadhaka, he's chanting Hare Krishna, but he has to take another birth. And why is that? And Jiva Goswami is saying that Krishna is doing it. Krishna makes him take another birth because he wants to increase his utsaha, his eagerness for devotion. So that means that that devotee that's forced to take another birth is obviously not a pure devotee. He's not perfect. Otherwise, because if he's a pure devotee, he'd be very eager and very enthusiastic to practice. So that means that even when one is, what Jiva Goswami is indicating, that even if one is not very advanced or not very pure, Krishna is interacting in their life. You see? Because it says that the Lord, by his own will, he will make that person take birth. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Janma karma chame divyam, evam yovati tatvata, dektva deham punar janma, nayati mamati sorjana. If someone has perfect knowledge of Krishna's birth and activities, then he doesn't take birth. So if someone is advanced in pure devotion, he doesn't take birth. So if someone is, if the Lord is forcing one to take birth, it means he's not advanced in pure devotion. And so that means the Lord is interacting with devotees that are still have some karma, that still have some impurity or materiality in them. You follow? So this is very interesting that Krishna arranges that we take another birth to increase our eagerness. So one thing we can derive from this is that we should be really eager for devotion. Seva utsaha, enthusiasm, ichitam, or eagerness. How do you say eagerness? What's it? Sanskrit for eagerness? We could say lolium or longing, eagerness. This utkanta, seva utkanta, much great longing and eagerness to serve. Devotional service, devotion means serving. Eagerness to serve. Yes, I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. Das, das, anadas. So before it's too late, we should become very eager to serve Krishna and the devotees. And chant the holy name as much as possible. And text 233, it says, the famous verse, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudo Nitya Mukto Binatvan Namanamino. The name of the Lord fulfills all desires like Chintamani. The name is the very form of Krishna. The holy name is full of consciousness and ras. The holy name is complete, pure, and eternally liberated. This is because of the non-difference of the name and Krishna. So the name here is called Namachintamani, Krishnas, because it's a thought, It's a chintamani gem. It's a thought gem. Whatever you think, whatever you're thinking, feeling, willing, whatever you desire or think, then that holy name will give it. It will bestow all things a person can desire. There's two things in the Vedic Dharma which we've described so many times. One is called chintamani or chintamani, and the other is called sparshamani. Sparshamani is a touchstone, right? And the sparshamani has a one-way function. It's philosopher's stone. You take the sparshamani and you touch it to iron, and the iron becomes gold. Maybe you've heard about this. So oftentimes people get confused and they call the sparshamani a touchstone. So there's two different things. The spiritual world is made of chintamani. And that means the ground is chintamani. Chintamani prakarasadma shukalpa riksha. So when you're walking on the ground, whatever you're thinking, you'll get. So where are we living right now? We're living in Vrindavan, Brajadham. We're sitting on Vrindavan, sitting in and on Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan is Chintamani Bhumi. But we may not perceive it. But the desires that we have, whatever they are, the unlimited desires, if we stay here long enough or short enough, in the right consciousness, then this very land that we're walking on will fulfill our desires. So many of the sadhus that live here, they go in bare feet. They walk everywhere with no shoes because the body expresses our desires. The shoes do not express our desires unless we're angry with someone and take off our shoes and beat them. By walking in the land of Vrindavan, and they're also thinking. People are walking and people are always thinking. At every moment, our mind is filled with thoughts, good or bad or neutral, progressive or bad thoughts, whatever. So if we're walking barefoot in Vrindavan, then we're expressing through our feet all of our good desires. We're walking around Govardhan and we're expressing our desires, so the Chintamani will fulfill our desires. The holy name is like that. You don't have to be walking in Vrindavan to fulfill your desires. You can be chanting the holy name in London and fulfill your desires. Nama Chintamani Krishna's. So why is the holy name called Chintamani? Jiva Goswami explains, another reason is because the holy name is Sarup. It is the rasa vigraha. It is the Sarup of Krishna. So everyone knows that God can do anything. God can fulfill all our desires. There's so many unlimited stories of God appearing before a devotee. And the devotee, and like Nrisimhadeva appeared before Prahlad, and he said, "What do you want? I'll give you anything you want." So Nrisimhadeva asked Prahlad, he said, "What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want." And this is because the Lord has his power. And then Prahlad said, "Really, I don't want anything. I just want your seva, your darshan." So the holy name is called Chintamani because the holy name is the form of Krishna, Krishna's sarup. So when we're chanting the holy name, we're standing right in front of Krishna. Krishna's right there, Hare Krishna. And then Krishna says, "So what do you want? What's your desire? What desire do you have?" And you say, "Or kuch nahi. I don't have any desire. I have you, what more? What do I want more?" So this is it says bina tuan, bina, like abeda. Bina means difference. There's no difference, abina. Abina means no separation, no difference between Krishna. The name Krishna and the person who is named Krishna, they're the same. If you have the name of Krishna in your mouth, then you have Krishna in your mouth. If you have the name of Krishna in your mind, then you have Krishna in your mind. Right? So there's no difference. So then Jiva Goswami says that this Non-difference means that there's one tattva. The name represents one tattva. The tattva of eternity, or excuse me, he says, the one tattva of eternity, knowledge and bliss and ras, appear in two forms, rupa and nam. So this is the form of Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss and rasa, rasa raj. And the name of Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss and full of ras. So this, just see how much beauty and opulence. Rasa is beauty. Rasa is beauty. Rasa is charming. Rasa is the essence of existence. The taste of happiness, the taste of joy, rasa. Rasa Sarup Sri Krishna. But then, Krishna is powerful. The name is powerful. It's eternal. And all the power, of, and it's knowledgeable. All knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So the holy name is all knowledge. So all power is there. So the holy name is the most beautiful blend of Aishwarya Madhurya, power and sweetness in the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa, Vigraha. This is from the Padma Puran. Atasri Krishna Namadi, Nadbaved Grayam Indriye, Sevan Muke Jivado, Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Krishna and his names cannot be grasped or understood by our material senses. When a person develops a tendency accept the Lord's name and form, Krishna then spontaneously appears in the tongue and in the other senses. It says, because the name of Krishna is identical with Krishna, who is beyond all sense experiences. In other words, Krishna is God, and the name is God. So Krishna is beyond our experience of our senses. Can we see Krishna? No. Can we smell Krishna? No. Can we hear Krishna's voice and his flute? No. Can we touch Krishna? No. So the holy name is Krishna. So we can we smell? Do we smell the holy name when we chant? Do we touch the holy name when we chant? Do we taste the holy name, Namruchi, when we chant? So there's some problem here in our realization. So Krishna is beyond, the name and Krishna are beyond human sense experiences. The name, form, qualities, realm, entourage, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be approached by sense experiences, either the physical senses or the mental, the mind. When the tongue and other senses, the eyes, ears, mind, are employed in the service of the Lord, then the Lord's name, form, qualities, realm, associates, and pastimes take their own initiative and appear on the senses of the individual, thus employed in his services. So this verse, it says, Atakshri Krishna Namavit, Namadi, it says, Sevan Mukhe Jivado. Service attracts the Lord. So the magic key, the key to unlock the treasure house stored within the Krishna's name. What is stored? What is locked? What is stored within Krishna's name? Krishna. Who is locked up and stored as a great treasure within Krishna's holy name? Krishna. Sakshat Krishna, Krishna himself. So that treasure box of the holy name that contains Krishna, the Krishna in a box. There's a Leela by Vishnu Chakravarti, Krishna in the box. So that Krishna is locked in the box of the holy name. So what is the key to unlock that treasure box and let out that treasure? Sevan Mukhehi Jivado. By doing service. It's the same way. When we approach Krishna in the form of his holy name, the key which unlocks the treasure house of Krishna's form and qualities and realm, his spiritual world, entourage and pastimes, that key is seva, service. And it's exactly the same requirement that's needed to approach Krishna in the form of the holy name is also required to approach Krishna's devotee. Because to approach Krishna's devotee, he has Krishna in his heart. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. The dharma, the perfection of dharma is locked in the heart of the devotee. So the devotee's heart is also a treasure house. It's called Riddhi Nidhi. Riddhi Nidhi. Nidhi means treasure house. And Riddhi means heart. Treasure in the heart. So now when we approach the devotee, we have to employ the same practice of Sevan Mukhe. Right? Vishrambena Guror Seva. It's in the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, third principle devotion. And Krishna's telling the same principle in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, you're approaching the treasure house of knowledge, the Vidya Nidhi. We have Prem Nidhi, Vidya Nidhi, the treasure house of knowledge, Vidya Nidhi, Paravidya Nidhi. You're approaching the Tattvadarshi. You're approaching the Tattvadarshi, the Guru, the spiritual master. Well, then, he is like the holy name. He is transcendental. And to approach him, then what do we have to do? Pranipatena Sevaya. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling in chapter 4, verse 34, how to approach the treasure house of knowledge, how to attain the spiritual realm, how to learn about the qualities of the Lord. Tadvidhi pranipatena pare prashnena sevaya upadakshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. This is the verse about Guru. So you approach, but you won't be successful in your approach, and you won't attain the vidya nidhi, or the knowledge of his heart, or the treasure of his heart, which is his Ishtadev, or his Prem Thakur, his Prananath, his Pranakant, that will not be attained by the seeker of truth, or by the person on the quest, unless they do service. Right? More service, more access. So the same thing with the holy name. The holy name is Sri Krishna Namadi Dambaved Graimindriya. It's beyond the senses and mind. It can only be attained by service. Sevan Mukhe Jivado. So that's being told here. When the tongue is employed, and the other senses, especially tongue, is employed in the service of Krishna, then the Lord's name takes its own initiative to appear on the senses of the devotee employed in his services. So this is a very interesting definition of this verse, which is so famous. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indriyai. Sevan Mukhe Jivado Swayameva Smaratyada. Rupa Goswami is saying, we have eyes, we have nose, everything, but they should all be engaged in service. And when they're engaged in service, then Krishna's name will appear before us. Krishna's form will appear before us. Krishna's qualities will appear. Krishna's holy dham, Krishna's pastimes will all appear within our mind, our consciousness, in our senses. The very senses which we are throwing at the feet of the Guru and engaging in the service of Krishna, those very senses will serve our cause. They will become the agent of our sadhya. They will become the agent of our attainment. They will bring us to the prayojana. These very eyes, when they're engaged in serving Krishna, they will see Krishna. This very sense of touch, when it's engaged in seva, of Krishna, this we will touch Krishna with these very same hands at the level of bhava and prema. The Dhruva Maharaj, he experienced at the age of 5, he touched Krishna, right? Krishna put his hand on his head and he felt the hand of the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj, rather Dhruva, I think Dhruva felt the conch shell. Lord Vishnu touched Dhruva on his kapola sparsha. He touched his cheek with his conch shell. Then Dhruva could offer prayers. This is told in Bhagavatam. He was standing there. What do I do? I'm having darshan of Narayan. I'm dumbfounded. I don't know how to respond. So then Lord Vishnu touched his cheek with his conch shell, and he spoke. So in Prahlad Maharaj, in seventh canto, the Lord put his hand on his head. So he felt the touch of the Lord at this level, even though he's Shanta Bhakta. But there was some threshold of prema, so he could have this experience. So this is such a wonderful verse. We're wondering why I am chanting for so long, but I am not experiencing Krishna. I am not seeing Krishna. I am not perceiving the qualities of Krishna when I chant. Why is that? This is the answer in this verse. Sevan mukhe jivado. More seva, more service. Because it's, someone might say, well, I'll just chant more name. That's also there. But the verse is not saying that. It's saying that the senses, the grayam, indriya grayam, the group of senses must be engaged in the service of Krishna. You can't chant Hare Krishna mantra with your eyeballs. You can't chant Hare Krishna mantra with your hands. I mean, you can with the beads. But with your nose. But the senses can smell the flowers offered to the Lord, and only the objects offered to the Lord. And the eyes can repeatedly see the devotees and the deities and the holy Dham. This, by using our senses always in this way, then the senses become purified. And then with those purified senses, the Lord becomes pleased, and through those purified senses, he reveals himself. Sevan mukhe jivado swayam eva spuratyada. Spurti means vision, darshan, seeing. We'll see in our eyes Krishna. We'll hear in our ears Krishna. We'll smell on our nose Krishna. We'll taste with our tongue Krishna. This is the blessing, the arrangement. The blessing, the promise of this verse. Swayam. Saimeva Svaratyada. Directly we will have this vision, darshan. So someone might ask a question. Why is the holy name or is not manifesting everywhere? Why is Krishna not giving this spurti everywhere? And the answer is given because we have no inclination for service. Just for example, if we're chanting the holy name, and then we're reading a newspaper, or we're chanting the holy name and we're distracted by looking at something or the internet and chanting Hare Krishna or driving a car, that means that we're showing the holy name that we're not interested in serving. Because chanting itself is a seva. The ears are engaged, the eyes are engaged, the hands are engaged. We're supposed to touch the beads, hear the holy name, close our eyes, and try to see the form of the holy name. So that means we're inclined for service. But if we're chanting and our eyes are searching the landscape for something to occupy, then that means our inclination for service is somewhat diminished, is impeded. Because we're thirsting, our eyes are thirsty. We want some satisfaction for our eyes besides the holy name. So the best thing is that the eyes are passive. The eyes are closed, and you say, okay, eyes closed, go to sleep. But ears open up widely and fully and take the holy name in. And hands hold on the beads, Tulsi Mala, and absorb. The nose will become inert. And the eyes will become inert. And then we'll simply chant and hear. So this is a very good way to practice japa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that if we have the tendency to look here and there and everywhere when we chant, then we should put a black cloth over our face. Might be a good idea here also. We should put a black cloth over our face and then chant. Because if we open our eyes, we'll see our eyelids. Because our eyelids are black. And if we have a black cloth, all we'll see is black. If you close your eyes and try to see, you'll see black. And if you have a black cloth over your face and head, and you open your eyes, searching and thirsting for objects, you'll see black. No enjoyment, no reciprocation. Your eyes will be frustrated. And you say, oh, well, I might as well close my eyes. So this is his recommendation. So this completes the 63rd limb of devotion. And tomorrow we'll begin the 64th limb of devotion, which is Sri Mathura Mandale Stiti, residing in Mathura.